I want to ask the question, are we doing what we can for the lost? All day today, well, in this morning's sermon and in tonight's sermon, we're going to be focusing on the lost and the lost world and our response to them. And this morning it's going to be, are we doing what we can for the lost? And then tonight the question will be, how close is too close? So whenever we are interacting with a lost world in the workplace, at school, out in commerce, wherever it is, how close is too close? How involved do we get? And where is that line? And how are we to be involved with lost people? And what's appropriate and what's inappropriate? So we'll look at that tonight. But this morning, the question is, are we doing what we can for the lost? Let's read Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. So in this passage here, we'll just kind of summarize it real quick. Jesus is preaching, and a large group has come to hear him preach, as they do all through the Bible, all through the New Testament. There are the Gospels when Christ is preaching. A large group is there. And wouldn't you be? They call Charles Spurgeon the prince of preachers, and I like to read some of Spurgeon's work, but not even close. I mean, to be in the presence, I would have loved to have heard Paul preach, I would have loved to have heard Peter preach, and different ones, but none of them could hold a candle to the Word himself preaching. The Bible refers to Christ as the Word. And what a preacher Christ was. What a preacher. Oh, that all of us preachers could have heard him. We read about it here and we see the power in the word. But what it must have been to hear his voice and hear it coming from his lips. But here he is preaching, and these people have gathered. And then four men go and get one of their buddies, maybe just somebody they know, but they go and get this guy who has a disease and he can't walk, and he needs to get to Christ. He needs what Christ has. He needs what Christ has to offer, but he can't get there on his own. And these men, they can get him there. And so they go and they pick up the bed that he's on and carry him in his broken, fallen state. They carry him to Christ. They get there and they can't get to the Savior. The house is full. The doorway is full. People, you picture this. People are looking over one another's shoulders. You look at this this crowd that we have here. And as I move, if I stand right here, I'm looking and I think I can see just about everybody's eyes. But you know, as well as I do, I don't stand right here. I'm all over the place. Amy said, Amy's been getting some pictures for the website, and she's like, they're all blurry of me because, I mean, my face won't be blurry, but my hand's a big blur because I'm always moving. I said, put it on that quick thing where it takes like seven in a row. One of them's bound to catch me when I'm being still. But anyhow, as I move around just in this gathering, some of you from time to time, you'll be able to see me fine, then I'll move, and you'll have to look to this side of the person's head. And this, if we could just get it worked out to where the short people sat in front and we worked our way back, then we wouldn't have to do that. But, you know, we do this in church. We do this at sporting events and everything, you know, just to see around. We're talking about a house that was so full of people you couldn't get anybody else in there, and they were crammed in the doorway, and people are looking over shoulders and looking over heads, and maybe there was some jumping going on, who knows, but they're trying to get a glimpse of the Savior as he's in there preaching. And these men, these four men, bring this friend of theirs, and here he is. He can't get in there by himself. They get him there, and now they can't get him into the Savior. So they climb up on top of the roof. They tear a hole in the roof. They start ripping shingles or whatever they had, grass or whatever was packed up there, mud. They start ripping the roof off, and they lower the guy down. Now, I don't know if they, at that point, put him on a sheet or tied ropes to the whatever he was on, but somehow they lowered him down. Okay, we're going to get this guy to the Savior one way or another. We didn't bring him all the way here for nothing. And they lower him down to the Savior. And Jesus not only heals the sickness that he has, he deals with the most important sickness that he has, his sin. And he forgives him of his sin. And right away the religious people are mad. And we won't talk about them this morning. That's not our focus. But I just want to point out, the religious people don't like it. Go out and serve God biblically and see how many religious people think that you're doing a great thing by serving God biblically. There's all kinds of debates. Well, I don't think Jesus would have done it that way. I don't think that's what you ought to be doing. And I don't think you ought to do it like that. And even though we're trying to do it exactly like he did it, religious people will absolutely cut you to shreds. I'm not talking about born-again Christians. I'm talking about religious people. They will absolutely cut you to pieces. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. God's house is a wonderful place to be. It is. I mean, it's just, we get to come in here. We get to come in here and be with other people that love God like we do and want to serve God. And we get to sing songs to Him together. And by the way, this is not to brag on Faith Baptist or pat any of you on the back. It's because it's coming from a pure heart. The music in this church and the singing in this church is beautiful. I don't know if you... I'm sure it sounds different to me up here. I think each of you should take a turn sitting up here and hearing it up here on this side. It's beautiful. And the reason it's beautiful is not because everybody in here has a wonderful voice. You don't all have wonderful voices. I've sat next to some of you. Okay? I'm just kidding with you. I have never sat on this side of the church, so you're all safe. Anyhow, you see where my family is, right behind Brother Dwayne. But anyhow, it's not because of talent. It's because of passion. It's because of heart. It's because these songs are not being sung for entertainment. They're being sung out of gratefulness and thankfulness and adoration, and that just makes it beautiful. And again, I'm just kidding about people singing. But have you ever heard, I don't know if you've ever witnessed this or not, I have heard some really bad singers who weren't singers but wanted to sing this one song because it meant so much to them, and it just came across as one of the most beautiful things you've ever heard. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I've heard some people in the past that just couldn't sing at all. And they would admit it, that they couldn't sing. But they so wanted to sing this song that meant so much to them, to their Savior. And it's just beautiful. I mean, people are weeping and snotting around and everything. It's just beautiful to hear somebody sing from a heart that means it. God's place, God's house is wonderful. Come in and sing to Him. And then we get to pray to Him. And we get to read His Word. And we get to hear it preached. And let God work on us and change us. And work in our lives and everything. It is a wonderful place to be. And the fellowship and the discipleship and all of that. It's wonderful. After you get saved, it's a blessing to meet like-minded people. To meet with them each week and learn God's Word. Coming to church and being made into a disciple, it's a wonderful thing. But are we getting so wrapped up in the goodness of church and the things that we love about church that we're forgetting those on the outside that need the gospel? All of those things that I just mentioned about church are wonderful, and those are all reasons to come in here. Let's not, through this whole sermon, I'm going to keep reiterating this point. Let's not forget that these are all good reasons to come, good reasons to be here. We don't want to downplay them in any way. But we sometimes can get so wrapped up in the things that we enjoy about church and the blessings that we are receiving, that we forget it needs to go beyond here, and there are others on the outside that need what it is that we are learning in here, that they need the gospel. Sometimes we come in here and we are so concerned with what God has for us, and He does have something for us, and we need that. But I'm afraid that what we do sometimes as Christians is we start to think that life as a Christian is all about me and what God's going to do for me and in my life. And what God wants to do in your life and what He's doing in your life is important, and you need that. And it helps you to be who God wants you to be. But if Christianity to you is about God only working on you, you're missing half the point. It's about God working on you so that you can turn around and take that gospel, the work that He's done on you, and give it to somebody else. And then He'll work on them, and then they'll give it to somebody else. That's what being a disciple is. It's not just learning to learn, it's learning to serve. Learning so that I can go out and be what God needs and wants me to be for a lost and dying world. But sometimes we let our own cares and our own concerns, which are oftentimes valid, and we ought be concerned with them, but sometimes that's our only concern. And we come to church and, man, we love the singing. And we love the preaching, and we love the fellowship, and we love all of that, and that's wonderful, and that's good. But sometimes we forget there's another step, there's something else, and that is there's a lost world out there. There are people out there dying and going to hell, and we've got to take the gospel to them. So sometimes we just get so involved in the goodness in here because it's really so good. It's great. We start to drink that up and soak that up so much that I'm afraid we neglect one of our most important responsibilities, and that is take what you have consumed, take what you have soaked up, and put it into action so that other people can be saved. In this morning's passage, we see a church service. That's what it is. Christ is preaching, and a bunch of people have gathered to hear it. They're having church. You say, well, it says in the house, they're having church. They didn't take up a collection. They're having church. It doesn't say they had a song service. They are having church. Christ is preaching. A bunch of people are listening. That's church. They're having a church service. It's taking place in someone's house. Jesus is preaching. And we see two kinds of people at this service. And I think we should examine ourselves this morning and see which group we belong to. And here's the thing. There is nothing wrong with either one of these groups. We don't see either one of these groups blatantly sinning. We just see one group neglecting something. And so, which group do we belong to? Verses 1 through 3 says, And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now these four men that went and got this guy that needed Christ, do you not think they wanted to stay and hear Christ preaching? Do you not think that they probably didn't want to miss a word? Don't you think that they wanted to get in the house and wanted to get all that they could? And is that not a perfectly acceptable attitude? Yes. I mean, Christ is preaching. I'm sure they wanted to hear it just as much as anybody else, and that's good. I'm sure they wanted to hear him preach. That's a good thing. And it's a blessing to be a part of a church where people want what God has for them. People that want to hear it. People who want to hear the word preached. Want to drink all they can from this fountain. What a blessing. I think that's what we have there. I think that's what we have here. People who want to know. They want what God has. They want the truth. They want to be changed by it. What a blessing. And maybe these four men wanted to stay right there. Didn't want to miss any of it. I wouldn't want to miss a single word that Jesus had to preach. I mean, I would have maybe had a hard time tearing away. Oh, but Jesus is preaching. And this is at the beginning of his ministry. I mean, this thing is, you know, just blowing up and spreading abroad. And this is that guy we've been hearing about that's been healing people and all of these things. But this, he went into the temple, remember, and he healed that guy with the withered hand. I want to hear what this guy has to say. I've been hearing about him. You know what it's like when a new restaurant opens up in town and everybody's bragging about it. Oh, we need to go. Everybody keeps talking. We need to go try that out. We had one open in Spencer, and when word got around, the parking lot was empty for about a month. It was a brand new restaurant, and it was like packed for the first couple weeks. And then word started to get around that it wasn't that good, and then the place was like barren. Well, they must have got a new chef or done something, because now it's full again. And sometimes, like my aunt said, you have to give new places time, you know, to get established. But they were like, you know, everybody wanted to try it out because it was new, and it wasn't that great from what we heard, but they must have fixed it because they're busy all the time now. But anyhow, you hear about something, you say, oh, I want to go see that. I want to witness that. I want to go take that in. You know, I had never been to the Smokies and wanted to go and heard people talk about how great it was. And I wanted to go, and I went and saw it. Never was interested until the last couple of years in seeing the Grand Canyon. But the more I think about the flood and creation and everything, the more I want to go see, as my buddy said, that big hole. I'd like to go see that. You know, you hear people talk about it. How much more when people are talking about this man named Jesus that has shown up and he's healing people and he's forgiving sins. So I believe these four men probably wanted to stay there. We don't know for sure, but I would have. You probably would have. I'm going to stand there and hear what Jesus has to say. But they knew there was somebody that needed Christ and what Christ had to say at that point more than they did. They knew somebody had a greater need. They knew that they could get up and physically walk to that house and hear Christ preach. They knew that there was a man who needed to be there that couldn't get there on his own. They knew that there was a man who needed to get to the Savior. They could get to him. They knew there was a man that needed to get to him who needed their help. And so they were willing to say, we want to hear this. But he needs to hear it even more. Let's go get him. Let's go get him. Now, whether it was, we don't know if they just knew of him and went and got him, or if he called out, or if he sent word, somebody come get me. But here are four men willing to go get him and bring him to the Savior. They knew there was a greater need. If you're saved, you need to be a disciple. You need to be in church. You need to be learning. You need to be growing. But the thing is, you have Christ. You need to go through sanctification. And here's what I said at the beginning. Let's not downplay that in any way. You need to be here. You need to be learning, growing, being sanctified, being made a disciple, letting God work on you. But you're saved. You have Christ. If you're saved this morning, that has already been secured. There are, as desperate as your need is to be a disciple, there are some out there who have a more desperate need than you right now because they haven't come to Christ yet. And discipleship is the least of their worries. Their biggest worry is hell and where they're going to spend eternity. And you don't have that worry anymore. And again, don't stop coming to church. Just make sure that coming to church is not where it ends. It's wonderful to be here and to learn and grow. And I pray, dear God, that I'm getting this point across. It's wonderful. It's great. But it can't stop here. Somebody out there needs this gospel. And here we have four men that said, we'll go get that guy that needs to get to Christ. Are you willing to put the needs of others, especially the lost, before your own? Or are you waiting for a point where you feel like, okay, I've got enough. I've got what I need from God. Now I'll go out. If you are honest with yourself and God, you'll never get to a point where you feel like you've gotten all you need from Him. So you can't wait for that moment. And we can't think that Christianity is all about what God has for me. What God has for me is to make me a disciple so that I can take out the gospel, because that's what He has for all of us. What about those who are saved, but they're out of fellowship? They've let sin creep into their life. They're still a part of the body of Christ because they're saved, but they're not in the local church. They're out, they're missing, they're whatever the reason. And sometimes people are gone for a legitimate reason. We understand that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who is out of fellowship with the church. Okay, someone who is just strayed away, and maybe they're getting wrapped up in something that they have no business being a part of. Are you concerned for them? Maybe it's not a lost person that we need to go after. Maybe it's just somebody who has slipped out of our fellowship and gotten off track, and we need to go and let them know, hey, we want you to come back home. It's much better here at home. What I have seen, sadly, what I've seen in churches is this. Someone, and it could be any number of reasons. It could be that they are out of fellowship, that they're getting wrapped up in sin, or it could be that they're not wrapped up in sin. Just the things of life, work and different things, have made it difficult for them. We got to feed the family. We got to pay the bills. We don't want to shirk that. But maybe somebody has been gone and we haven't, I'm not talking about here because I haven't been here that long, but just in a church in general, maybe somebody has been gone 2, 3, 4 months. We've not seen them once in that time. And maybe it's because they're getting off track. Or maybe it's because they're not getting off track and they want to be here, but just life has happened and things have happened to them. And what happens a lot of times in churches is the church develops an out of sight, out of mind mentality. They're not here, so we forget about them. You know that the Bible tells us that this body right here is just that, it's a body. Christ is the head, and we are the members. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the legs. We are the back. We are the chest.
I'm probably the stomach, as much as I like to eat. And somebody says, well, I'm a little toe. Another, well, I'm a toenail on a little toe. Well, that person, you know, they're just kind of here. They're kind of like the pinky toe. Nobody ever thinks about it. Hey, stub your pinky toe. Get your pinky toe caught. I don't know how you get caught in something, but if you lost your toe, if you get, I've got 10 fingers. If you lost one of them, you'd know. Every time you went to pick up a fork or pick up a glass or whatever, you'd know it was gone. Those little members that we don't think much of, lose the tip of your ear. You'll know it's not there. You grow your hair down over it so nobody can see, but you know it's there or not there. It doesn't matter what the person does or doesn't do in the church. It doesn't matter how important or less important we might think. When God made our bodies, He put everything there for a specific purpose, and if it didn't need to be there, He wouldn't have put it there. So like I said, we think that maybe a pinky toe or whatever might not be that important. It is if you lose it. Let me ask you this. You ever have a real, I'm not talking about just kind of dull, you ever had a real toothache? Yeah, there's at least two or three people that have. I'd rather have anything than a real bad toothache. Okay, teeth aren't that big. Your mouth isn't, most of our mouths aren't that big. Okay? I tell you, I think I'd rather have my arm busted than to have that toothache. And they go on and on and on. And you can't sleep. And you can't do anything about it. And you're taking stuff and you're doing stuff. And you just can't. That little bitty tooth in there. Now when you've got a massive toothache, what is it that you're constantly thinking about? That little bitty tooth in there causing that toothache. It might be a little member, but when it goes bad, all of your attention is focused on it. Look, if the body of Christ is functioning like it should, no matter who's gone, when they're gone, we ought to feel it. We ought to notice, hey, where is that person? We need that person. We love that person. Where are they? Let's go get that person. Let's go find out what's going on with that person. So it might be saved people that need to be brought to Christ. It might be someone who's just out of fellowship or whatever it is. But are we willing to say, I need to put that person's needs ahead of mine? They've got a greater need right now. These men, I know, would have benefited by hearing the Savior preach. We all benefit from preaching. We should. But they laid that aside and said, there's somebody with a greater need and we need to go get him. Look, the lost are not going to flood those doors. It's not going to happen. When people come in here to visit church and to be, normally, maybe not every time, but normally, they're already saved. And they're looking for a church to attend. The lost aren't going to come in here by the busloads. That's why the Great Commission is for us to go ye into all the world. We have to go out and take it to them. Look at verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. It says, for the press. Again, here's a beautiful sight. Men and women longing to see the Savior, longing to hear from the Savior, to hear His words, longing to receive what He has. They are packed in there. You can't even get in. You can't get through the door because so many people want to hear the Savior. I think every one of us would say, oh, it'd be great. Oh, we'd love to have to get some more chairs out and everything because that means people are coming with a desire to hear the preaching and let God work in their life, and that's wonderful. But do you notice one of the effects here? It made it difficult for the sick man to get to Christ.
it made it difficult for him to get to the Savior. One person said it like this: how many times has God been working on somebody and he's in the middle of a packed pew and he'd love to go up to the altar and pray or go up and talk to the pastor, but on each side are good Christian people singing the hymn of invitation, not meaning to, but making it difficult for this person to get out? It's kind of an illustration. And it's not that when people come in, we're going to say, okay, are you saved or not? Because if not, we want you on the end aisles. We want you to be able to get right down front if you need to. We're not going to do that. That's just an illustration. But here's a group of people that aren't doing anything wrong. They're there to hear the master preach. But because they're so focused on what they want from Jesus, they're making it difficult for the lost man, the diseased man, the crippled man. They're making it hard for him to get in. And I think that sometimes our mentality of, I've got to get what God has for me, we're making it difficult for people to get to Christ because we're more concerned about what God is going to do for us than we are what God needs to do for them. And so maybe we're not packing the pews and packing the entryways to where they can't get in. Maybe it's more of a mentality. Maybe it's more of a neglect. We're just so wrapped up in our own needs and our desires and our own growth and what we need and want from God. And again, all of those things are great. And we don't want to neglect those things. But that becomes the number one thing. We forget our calling to go out and compel the lost to come in. That we forget, hey, this is great that I'm here learning and growing. But there are other people that need to get in here. I need to go get them. We ought to have a desire to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. And that's what we get to do. We come to church, we get to just learn and soak it up and let Him work on us, let the Holy Spirit work on us and change us. We ought to desire His words. But when we take in all that He has for us, when we just take it in, everything God has for us, when we take it in, who, other than ourselves, has benefited from it? God wants us to benefit from it, and then He wants the lost to benefit from it. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to be a disciple. He wants you to grow. He wants you to learn. He wants you to change. He wants you to be made into what the sculpture that He is trying to make you into. But for the purpose that you can turn around and go out and come in with somebody else that needs it. It can't stop here. It's not supposed to stop here. We just sometimes get, and sometimes we get so wrapped up in what God's doing in our lives because it's just so good. Sometimes God's working in our lives and He's blessing us and He's changing us and we're going to this Word and it's just, there's so much to keep up with because He's teaching us so much at once. Sometimes we just get so wrapped up in it and consumed with it because it's just so good. And we ought get consumed in it, but not so much that we forget, hey, I've got a job to do. Somebody out there needs this too. And I think these people in this house just, they weren't doing anything wrong. They were packed in there wanting to hear the Savior, but they were forgetting. There's a guy out there that can't walk up here by himself. We've got to go out and get him and bring him up here. And aren't you glad?
Aren't you glad? I don't know. Some of you have shared your personal testimonies with me. But I don't know if this is your situation or not. Aren't you glad that when they went and got the man and brought him up and said, we can't get in the door, they didn't quit? aren't you glad they didn't just say, well, buddy, we tried? Aren't you glad they lifted each other up, got out a ladder, climbed up whatever, got up on the roof? Get him up here. Can you picture the scene, folks? Jesus is in the house preaching, and everybody's listening. And something keeps going on outside, and then they say, hey, somebody on the roof. Hey, what are you looking at? Four guys just took some dude around the corner on a bed. Did you see? Man, listen to the preaching. All right. Then plaster starts falling. What a scene. Then the roof's opened up. And you ladies that are sitting in here like this are like, oh, good, some air's moving in the church now. Somebody turned the heat on. Guys, we get just as hot, we won't do this. And here this hole opens up, and now this guy is being dropped down. What a scene. What if it happened here this morning? Aren't you glad they didn't get him there and then say, oh, sorry about your luck, buddy. We thought we could get you into the Savior, but guess not. Aren't you glad they said, no, we're getting this guy to the Savior? And they got up on the roof and they tore up the hole and they dropped him in there. And Christ saw that. And what did he see? Faith. He said he saw their faith. Now, I don't know your testimony. A few of you have shared it with me, but most of you, I don't know your testimony yet. Maybe you were that person that somebody witnessed to or gave a tract to and you didn't want to have anything to do with it. Maybe they tried to get you to Jesus and it didn't go the way they thought it was going to go, or you just didn't want to have anything to do with it. Aren't you glad that somebody was willing to come back and give you another tract and witness to you again? Aren't you glad somebody was willing to lift you up on the roof and tear a hole in the roof and do whatever they could? They couldn't make you get saved. That was your decision. But aren't you glad, aren't you thankful for people out there who aren't willing to quit and who'll do everything they can to get somebody to the Savior? I am. Many people have these testimonies. And they say, you know what? My dad, my uncle, my grandfather, my friend at work, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. 2 years, they just kept on and kept on and kept on. And I'm glad they did. We hear that all the time. So we ought be about getting in and getting what God has for us. But we also need to remember, He has this for me so that I'll be a disciple and go out and work for Him. And when you don't see the result you hoped you'd see at first, let's be the kind of servant that's willing to get up on the roof and tear a hole in it and do everything we can. Again, don't misunderstand me. You can't make somebody get saved. And we're not talking about dragging people to Christ against their will. A couple years ago, I was sitting in church. It was a holiday service, so a lot of visitors were there. And sitting in front of me was this young woman. I think she was younger. She looked younger than me. She was rough. I'll just say that. She was rough. She looked like the world, more so than some. I was thankful that this young woman, no matter how she looked, was sitting here hearing the preaching. I watched this whole thing unfold in front of me. It had to have been her grandmother she was there with. And as the invitation was given, her grandmother, and I respect the fact that she cared and wanted her granddaughter to get saved, or whoever this was, that's wonderful. But her grandmother just beat her up. Her grandmother was trying to drag her salvation against her will. That's not what we're talking about. And at one point, I mean, the woman just kept getting frustrated. And they're sitting right in front of me. And she turns to her grandmother or whoever this was. She turns and she says, I am not changing. I didn't even know her. And that was like a knife in my heart. I know that this woman that was sitting there talking with her, she's brokenhearted. Now, she was trying to do something she shouldn't have. She's trying to force her into it, trying to drag her to it. You can't do that. You can't force it down somebody's throat, and that's not what these men were doing. They weren't dragging the man to Jesus against his will. They saw a man that had a need, and they did everything they could to get him to Christ. That man wouldn't have gone if he didn't want to. Or if they'd have forced him. This scene wouldn't have played out the way that it did if it was against his will. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, do we really understand that there's more to Christianity than just what God has for me? Do we understand other people need what He has given us, salvation? Other people need it too. And are we willing to stay at it and go the extra mile when one track or one prayer didn't do it? Are we willing to stay at it and do all we can to get them to Jesus? Not against their will. But look, sometimes we give up too easily. Or we say, okay, I told them once, they know that, that's it. When maybe you need to go tell them again. Maybe it's time to rip that hole in the roof and get them down to Jesus. Our lives are not just about learning and growing. It's about learning, growing, and leading others to Christ. All of those three together. We can't indulge in one at the expense of the others. And the opposite side of the coin is this. How are you going to be an effective soul winner if you're not in church learning how to be a disciple? You see, we can't neglect any of them. If the only thing that we're concerned about is soul winning, and that's important, but we're not in, I mean, we wouldn't skip a church service to go door to door. We do that in between. Because we know we need this to do that effectively. We can't indulge in one at the expense of the other. Then in verse 5, what's Jesus say? He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Christ gets to the heart of the situation, and that's this man's sin. What he needed more than physical healing was a spiritual healing. When Christ healed him physically, it was a sign to those unbelievers, those scribes. It was as though Christ was saying, okay, if that's the only way you're going to believe it, take up thy bed and walk. He dealt with his spiritual need first. So where do we stand today? Are we the one that's willing to go the extra mile to bring somebody to Jesus? Or are you the one who's content to get all you can and keep it to yourself? Hey, get all you can. Just don't keep it all to yourself. Is being a Christian all about you? Because it ought to be about you and everybody else that needs it. It's all about Christ, but it should affect you and others. Who is it in your life that you could be doing more for when it comes to bringing them to Jesus? Maybe there's somebody you've given up on, and you don't even pray for them anymore. Maybe you brought them and saw the press and, oh well. Maybe their reluctance was the press. Maybe when you brought them in and you saw the press of the house and couldn't get them in, maybe that was them kind of reluctant. And so you said, oh well, I tried. Did you quit praying for them? Did you quit trying to be that testimony in their life? You say, oh, but every time I mention it, yeah, but aren't you still praying they'll get saved? Aren't you still bringing it up when you can? You can't stop being that testimony. So where are we at this morning? Both groups, good groups. Just one was neglecting something that needed to be done. So where are we at? Let's pray.